Okay, so here we are in Beit Shemesh. Baruch Hashem, if this is being uploaded, I've missed everyone out there for a couple of months, but we're back to learning. We're getting Daf Nun Hey, and we'll have more to say as we go on. But today, let's just get right into the Torah today. Getting Daf Nun Hey, and we'll start with the Mishnah on top. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah gave testimony. What kind of testimonies? If you see on the side, this is a Mishnah from Maseches Idios as well. Maseches Idios records all the Idios that many of the Tanam gave on the day that Rabbi Ben Azariah became the Nasi in the times of the Gemara. If you remember the story from Maseches Brachos, that records the day that Rabbi Ben Azariah became Nasi. So the question, who was going to be the head of the yeshiva? It couldn't be Rabbi Gamliel, it couldn't be Rabbi Yeshua. So they said, let's go to Rabbi Ben Azariah. He's rich, and he's a chacham, and he's a great tzaddik. So let's go and give him the chance. So they go, and they go to him, they send a group of rabbanim to say, you know, will you become our chief rabbi? Lazar ben Azariah, this is what he's been waiting for all his life. You know, you would think that he would jump at the opportunity. Rav Shechter likes to point out that what was his answer? His answer was, Eilich ve'emlich ve'inchi beisi. I have to go ask my wife. I have to go ask his wife for. This is the greatest thing that he would want to do. This is the greatest position that anybody could ever have. So Rav Shechter points out that no, the point is that if you become the chief rabbi, you're going to be on the lecture circuit more, you're going to be out of the house more, there's going to be more obligations, and you can't do that on the stepping on the toes of your wife, even if it means that you're going to go up, so to speak, the spiritual ladder. You have to ask your wife, because your wife didn't marry you with this position. So it's amazing that, you know, he says, oh, will you be the chief rabbi? No, I have to go ask my wife. The end of the story is what's famous. What does his wife answer? His wife answers, maybe they're going to fire you tomorrow. So he says, no, it's better to be a glass kli for one day than to be an earthenware kli all my life. Meaning even if it's one day, it'll be good enough. Then she says, but you don't have a white beard. So that's the story that we read in the Haggadah, that overnight he grew a white beard, and that's why he says, Hariani kiven shivim shana, I'm like 70 years old, even though he was only 18 years old. But that's the story from the day that he became Nasi. On that day, the Gemara there described that there was tremendous Torah learning that took place, and much of the Sechel Idios is the testimonies that were given by the different Tanaim on that day. So that's where we pick up. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah gave testimony about the following halachos. Some of these halachos have to do with rabbinic enactments, takanos, for the good of society, and that's why this is in Perek HaNizokin, in the fifth Perek in Gittin. All of the parak is about different takanos that took place, that the Rabbanan enacted, Mizman and Mishnah. So some of them have to do, some of them are because of Tikkun Harabim, and that's why they're in this parak. So here we go. So hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah gave testimony al achareshes shehisiya aviha shehiyotze beget. Achareshes is a deaf mute. Mida oraisa, she cannot become married when she is a gedola. When she's above 12 years old, she's considered a lav bar das. She's considered someone who doesn't have das, and therefore, there's no way she can get married mida oraisa. But when she is a ktana, less than 12 years old, she can, ironically, get married mida oraisa. Just like the Torah gives power to the father to marry, to accept kedushin for his daughter when she is a ketana, so a chareshes is the same thing. Chareshes and ketana are both lav bardas, and therefore there would be no reason for a chareshes to be worse than a ketana. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgudah says about a chareshes shehisiya aviha, that her father married her off. That's code word kedushin daraisa. Shehiyotze beget, that she can accept her get when she becomes a gdola. So what's the chiddush? This is a marriage d'oraisa. A chareshes is really a lav bar das. How will we allow her to accept her own get? She doesn't have das according to halacha. The answer is, as Rashi explains, as many of us know, that according to mida oraisa, a woman does not have to have ratzon to accept her get. She has to have what's called a yad. She has to have a legal hand. She has to be able to accept something. She can't be a total shota, which is a total person who doesn't have any das. a chareshes doesn't have halachic full das, but she has enough yad, she has enough of a hand to accept her get. So she is married to Oraisa. She's no way, there's no way that she herself could have been married to Oraisa herself. It's only because her father accepted when she was a ketana. But now that she's a gedola, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada told us that she is able to accept her get, by herself. Again, even though she doesn't yalad bar das, but she yesh lo yad. That's the language that the Rishonim use. And because gittin is bal karcha, only the husband has to have the ratzon, but she does not have to have the ratzon. Therefore, she can accept her get. We know that bizman hazeh we don't do that. For the past 1,000 years, Rabbeinu Gershom, one of the early Rishonim, said that we don't divorce by force anymore. Bal karcha, we have to have the woman's consent. But at least midaraisa, we don't need her ratzon, and therefore she could accept her get. So that's the first din in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef ben Yochanan ben Gudgada said that a chareshes that got married when she was a ketana, therefore she's married to a raisa, she could accept her get. Next, the al ketana bas Yisrael sheneses lakohen shocheles betruma, and a ketana bas Yisrael that's married to a kohen. So a ketana bas Yisrael is married to a kohen. So here we're talking about, as Rashi explains, the he yisoma. She is a yisoma, meaning her father did not marry her off here. What does that mean? Midaraisa, a woman, a girl is less than 12, cannot get married. Midaraisa. Midarabanan is what's called Kiddushe Miyun, which is all one of the prakam towards the end of Maseches Yevamos, is about a drabanan marriage, rabbinic marriage, which Chazal enacted in order to help out Benos Yisrael. Again, we live in a different society. We can't understand how a woman, oh, she's 10 years old, she's not married yet. Wow, what's going to be with her? The Tosas, the beginning of the second parak of Maseches Kiddushin, talks about that. In those days, who knew what's going to be? Who knows all the crusades and the shmados and all the craziness of society at the time? So Chazal enacted that her mother, a girl, was less than 12 years old, that the mother and the brothers want to make sure that she's taken care of. So therefore, they're allowed to accept Kiddushin on her behalf as well. It's called Kiddushin Miyun, because Miyun is the process that she could just walk out of the marriage. She doesn't need a get, because there's only Kiddushin to Rabbanan. But in that type of marriage, Ketana Bas Yisrael Shenis is Flekoen She'ocheles Betruma. She is even allowed to eat Truma, as we'll see for what the reason is. Even though it's only a marriage Midi Rabbanan, she can't eat Truma. The Gemara is going to end up saying that's only Truma Midi Rabbanan. Right? It says Truma here, like this. How can the Rabbanan say that a woman who's a Yisraelis, she's married to a Kohen, so fine, if they're married to Al-Raisa, married from the Torah, and then she could eat the Truma because of her husband. She's his Kenyan Kaspo. But if she's married me to Rabbanan, she could eat Truma to Al-Raisa? The Gemara is going to say, obviously not. So it's going to mean Truma to Rabbanan. That's what Tosfos says on top. Top Tosfos, but Truma to Rabbanan, I read. According to it's only Truma to Rabbanan that we're talking about in this Mishnah, as the Gemara is going to say. Continue via Mesa, and if she dies, Bala Yarsha. And if this woman dies, that's married to the Kohen Midrabanan, her husband, Yarshin Sir, that's again a big discussion whether the husband's Yerusha of a wife is Daraisa Drabanan, but that's not for us now. Continue. The Al Hamerish Hagazal Shabinao Babira Shayitilas Damav. The man steals a board. A Merish, I go to my friend's field and I steal a board. And I build a house with that board. And then all of a sudden, I have charata, I want to do tshuva. I want to do tshuva, but you know what? If I'm going to have to knock down my whole house, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to do so much tshuva. You know, la'at. So the chazal made a takan. Usually you have to, though, return what you stole. The heshev is like zeila shagazal. You stole something, you have to return it. So midar raisa, you have to return it, midar abanan. They say, you know what? Keep the board. Give back the value of the board. Just pay the money. V'yalameir shagazal shabaro babira sheitol zdamav. The nigzal, the one who was stolen from, just has rights to the money. Because we want to have a takana for those doing tshuva, and therefore, Chazal say that he only has to return the money and not the board. Gemara is going to talk about this a little more. It's fascinating that if you look at the Gemara in Tainus on Daf Tezayin, the Gemara there describes the tshuva of Anshe Nineveh. We know on Yom Kippur afternoon by Mincha, we read the story of Yonah, the people of Nineveh, the non-Jewish city of Nineveh. And they did tshuva. Right? Hashem said, I'm going to destroy Nineveh, and Yonah goes to them and says, Hashem's going to destroy your city. So the pasuk says in Yonah, Vayashuvu ish midarko hara'a, they all did tshuva from their evil ways, umin hachamas asher bakapehem, and from the chamas, from the robbery that was in their hands. And what does that mean? They did tshuva from the robbery in their hands. Shmuel says there, Daf Tezayin, afilu gazal meireshu b'no'o babira, even if they had built a house, they stole a board and built a house, mekakea kalabira kula, they would knock down their house. Umay, machzer meiresh lebailov, and return the board to their owner. That was the tshuva of Anshei Nineveh. So, well, what's the yisod? And that's what we read Yom Kippur afternoon. That's the tshuva that we have to remember. So many of the Baalei Mussar say that the point is that Mikra Din, you don't have to return the board because we want to get you to do tshuva. But really, you have somebody else's board in your rishus. It smacks of not yash, a lack of yashus. It's not full tshuva. You know, we're giving you an out. But if the gavra, if you want to do complete tshuva, you know, you got to go above and beyond. You don't want to rely on takanas drabanan that we would allow you to get out of certain halachas. So that's the tshuva. Actually, in Israel, they didn't rely on the takana. As takana in Gittin Nun Hei, that's the tshuva of the Anshei Nineveh. Okay, look at the Meiri there. He discusses this tshuva of the Anshei Nineveh in Tainus. Okay, let's continue. So the number three. Was the board that was put into the house? Oh, one more point I wanted to mention. Interesting. So what is this? The Mishnah describes a kula that we give to Baalei Tshuva. So we don't want to be so harsh on them. You know, they're not going to do tshuva if we're too hard. So, you know, let them keep the board. The Sharm Mishnah in Bahalacha here, just as a ha'ara. He says, Lo matzasi beposkim lahagbil lanu ad kama yicholim lahakil Baalei Tshuva b'rei takanasam. It's very hard to figure out rules and regulations when somebody's coming back into the fold for Baalei Tshuva. When could you be Mekel? When could you not be Mekel? Here's an example. Oh, yeah, forget this halacha. You know, we'll change it. They don't have to do it. They'll give it back money. It's a din daraisa. Because I'll have that power. They have the power to say, you know what, don't do something. Don't blow shofar. Don't do this. They have the power. But it's hard, he just points out, to know when exactly, you know, one can be Mekel. You know, what one has to say, what doesn't have to say. You know, if somebody's becoming frum, you know, don't tell them everything on the spot. I remember I was once at a shiur by Rosenzweig, and somebody asked him, is it a ziyuf ha-Torah? Is it a falsification of the Torah if somebody's on his way back to Yiddishkeit, and you don't tell him every detail of Hilchas Borer, of separating on Shabbat? You don't tell him every detail of this. You don't tell him, but you're not telling him. Isn't that a ziyuf ha-Torah? It's falsifying. You know, he thinks this is Shabbat, and really is more. So Rosenzweig said just the opposite. If somebody is told too much Torah when they're not ready for it, somebody's not ready to keep everything, and you give them everything, then they're going to get a warped sense, and that's a ziyuf ha-Torah. Telling somebody too much. So again, it's a very hard balance of what to, you know, we can never use that as an excuse. I'm not ready for it. I'm not ready to come to davening on time. I'm not ready. Chas v'shalom. We can't use that as a way out for ourselves. But at least for you know, he just has the aura. This is an example where there's a kula, but it's hard to put our finger on exactly. He says mehaka lekalamelo flashar yisrim. You can't learn from here, as we'll see why. He mentions a yisod in the Gemara is going to come up soon. But again, that's the ha'ara. It's hard to know when to use takanas hashavim and when not to use takanas hashav. Okay, let's go by it. Says the Gemara, last line of the Mishnah. Va'al hachatas hagzula shelo noda l'rabim, and on a chatas gezula, on a stolen chatas shelo noda l'rabim, that nobody knew it was stolen. Let's say somebody stole an animal and he brought it to the Beis HaMikdash to give us a carbon, and it was brought on the mizbeach, and nobody knew about it. Shelo noda l'rabim shehi mechaperes mebeit tikkun hamizbeach. Even though it's stolen, it really does not belong to this person. It's still machaper. Kapar, there's still atonement brought for the person because of tikkun hamizbeach. We'll have to see in the Gemara what exactly that means. What does tikkun hamizbeach mean? What exactly does rabim mean? What if one person knows about it? Two people. Is that rabim? So somebody says that not a lot of people know about it. So the Tosfos Yontif here discusses it, but the Yerushalmi here, Yerushalmi on this Mishnah, says, quotes one day that says three, like a mezumin. Rabim is three. And then it quotes another Tana who says, and the source for this, Rabbi Avit says, the source for Rabim is a pasuk comparing to Pesach and Chola. It's also a pasuk quoted in Lulav HaGazel. Ma Pesach v'chole begalu yafkol begalui. Just like carbon Pesach is revealed, so too Rabim is revealed. So Pashas of the Rishami, that's just a pasuk quoting as a basis for the earlier source that Rabim is three. But the Tosfos Yontif points out that the Rambam quotes this Mishnah verbatim. Noda l'rabim. The Kesef Mishnah there says, Rabbi Yosef Cairo says, oh, Rabim is three. Why not the Rambam say how many it is? The Rambam should say how many Rabim is. Noda l'rabim, noda l'three. The Rambam just left it up to us. Rabim. So Tosfos Yontif says, you know why? Because the Rambam thinks that Rabim is subjective. There's no specific number for Rabim. And he thinks, says the second daya that says galui is arguing on the first daya. The first daya says three in the Yerushalmi. The second daya says, no, it just means revealed. What does revealed mean? Depends on the circumstance. You could have a rabbim in one circumstance, that's five. One rabbim in the other circumstance, that's 42. He says, Cholik alomer the rabbim shlosha ela galui beinyan v'talui b'ra'os hadayin kefi hazman v'cha'inyan. Depends on rabbim. The rabbim didn't want to give you a specific number because, you know, there is no specific number. Rabbim is a subjective term. So that's what he says. That's what the rabbim doesn't mention it. So rabbim could either be three or it could be something subjective. Okay. So here we go into the Gemara. So we have the four takanas of the Mishnah. Some of them are tikkun harabim, and that is why now the Gemara discusses. Amar Rava. Rava tells us meiduso shor b'yochanan ben gudgada from the fact that the first line of the Mishnah, yochanan ben gudgada, from his edus we know the following halacha. What did he say? What was his edus? That was the first line. That a chareshes, that a deaf mute whose father married her off, meaning she was married mida araisa, that she's allowed to accept her get. She's allowed to accept her get, even though she is a lav bar das, but because gittin is balkarcha, she's allowed to accept her get. So from the edus of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada, Omar, from that halacha we know the following. Omar le'edim. If a man says to two witnesses, a man's next to his wife, he whispers to two witnesses next to him, Re'u get zesh ani nosim la. I'm about to give a get to my wife. You watching? You're my witnesses? Look at me. V'chazar v'omar la. And then he goes to the woman and says, Kinsi shtarchov zeh. Here is your shtar chov, which is money that I owe you. Money that I owe you, meaning he lies. He tells the Edom, I'm about to give a get, and then he gives her a get, but he calls it a shtar, tells the woman, this is your shtar chov, this is money that I owe you. So does that work? So, says the Gemara, says Rava, harizim ugureshes. That works. Why? Milo amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada lo be'inan daita. Didn't we say in the Mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada says that the woman doesn't have to know, right? The chareshes, who doesn't have das according to the Torah, she can accept her get. So to her, even if she is a bar das, but she thinks something else, right? Hachanami lo be'inan daita. So that's what you learn from Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada. Not only, you might say it's a jump, you might not have said it's such a pashut leap, but he says just like a woman doesn't need das, she could be b'mahus, the gaber, her person could be a woman who doesn't have das, like a chareshes. So too, even if she is a person who has das, but she's just misinformed, she thinks it's a shtar chov, not a get. Also that works. The Rishonim discuss here that if he wouldn't have told the witnesses beforehand, so would that have worked?
Even more pressure because it's not anti-das.
It's not anti-das, but maybe we don't know. If he wouldn't have even told the Edom that...
The Edom
that I'm about to give a get to my wife. So the Rashba says, if he wouldn't have said anything, it would not have worked. Because then, what? A man is giving a shtar to his wife that doesn't look like... not saying it's a get. You know, it's a shtar... It's kinsi shtar chovze. So if he wouldn't have said anything, then it wouldn't have worked. There is a machlokas, though, in the Rishonim. What about if he was asukin ba'oso inyan? Was inyan meaning... He was discussing with his wife beforehand. He was talking about Gittin. They were learning Maseches Gittin, learning all the halachas in the first couple of parakim. Not here. We're not talking about Gittin until the next parak a little bit. Not a little bit about Gittin today. But so what if he was asukin bosu inyan? That's the machlokas we've shown him. The Rashba says here. The Rashba again. If the first time I'm giving share on Gittin in a while, and the Rashba on Gittin is Yesod Shebi Yesodos. Every Masechta has its Rishon or Rishonim. The Rash, you can't move in Gittin without the Rashba. So the Rashba on Gittin says right here. He says, "Why Edim?" He says, "Dafka la Edim Osha Hayu Asukin Boso Inyan." Even if they were schmoozing about it beforehand, if he didn't say anything at the moment, that's still okay. But other Rishonim, Rabbeinu Kreskes here says, "I know Asukin Boso Inyan wouldn't be enough. You need an Amira. You need him to say something." It seems to be a Machlokas Rishonim when there's a discussion beforehand, is that considered an amira? Could that take the place of a formal, I am giving a get to my wife? That's my focus we're showing him here between the Rashba and Rabbeinu Kreskes. Fine. So back to the Gemara. So Rava says from Yochanan ben Gudgada, just like we know a case where a woman is a lav bar das, so too if she is misinformed. Gemara says, Pshita. So isn't that obvious? Both cases are, she doesn't have das, la maisa. So ma'od tema, no. We might say, kiven da amar kinsi shtar chov zeh, bitulei batzlei. Now we might say that since he, after saying to the Edom, I'm about to give a get, he says, this is a shtar chov, maybe he's changing his mind when he gave it to her. That's what we might have said. even though he said 5 minutes ago to the Edim, this is my get, he might be changing his mind by saying, Kinsi Sharchov Zeh, Kamash Malah, no, that's the Chiddush of Rava. In Misa Debatzlai, if he would be nullifying it, La Edim Havi Amar Lahu, he would have nullified it to the Edim, not just change his mind to the woman. Vahayda Kamar Hachi, and the fact that he just said this unusual lashon. Why didn't he just say to his wife, this is my get, Mishim Kisufa. He's embarrassed. It's not such a happy occasion. It's not such a great thing that we say when a man gives a get to his wife. This amazing Abu Draham. Abu Draham is one of the less known Rishonim. He has one sefer on Siddur. So in the beginning, all of Hilchos Brachos, a lot of it we know from the Abu Draham. When do you make brachas, when do you not make brachas? Every mitzvah that we do, if you don't make a bracha, you gotta ask why. Staka, Onik Shabbos. You gotta ask why. So one of the questions he deals with is, why is there no bracha on Gerushin? Gerushin is a mitzvah. You know, a mitzvah doesn't mean you want to do it. Right? A mitzvah means, in every situation in life, Hashem tells you what to do. You know, you want to do the mitzvah of returning stolen objects. You're going to steal something in order to do the mitzvah. You're not supposed to want to do every mitzvah. You can learn Hilchos Bava Kama. That'll be good enough for returning lost objects. You don't have to actually do it. So, by Gerushin is a mitzvah. Chamon al-Islam, if somebody's in a position, it's a mitzvah to separate from his wife in this way. So why is there no bracha? Where's the bracha? The Abu Dram says that many gittin are ba'avera. So many are mitzvah ba'avera, so they didn't enact the bracha. Because then gittin are for kas, for the wrong reasons. So other Rishonim say that, no, it's not a mitzvah that's maybe a bracha is appropriate. Maybe we should kisufa. How many mitzvahs are embarrassing? Not too many mitzvahs are embarrassing. So that might be part of the issue. A bracha is a davar shebe farhesia. It's a chazal. Remember, all brachas are the rabbanan, kimat. So a chazal did not enact a bracha for this.
As you said, another difference here is this is really anti-dox. No,
she
thinks this is something else.
Exactly. This is a jump. You might have said no das is better than anti-dox. Exactly. But the Gemara didn't say that. Yeah.
So the woman that the Kohen divorces in general, are they allowed to eat truma after their divorce?
So the woman, if the woman is married to a Kohen,
yeah,
and the woman is not a Bas Kohen,
sure,
if she's not a Bas Kohen, she can eat Truma if she had children from the Kohen. If she has children from the Kohen.
If she didn't have children.
If she not have children, then she can't eat anymore.
Went up and said, this is the money I owe you, so she doesn't realize that she's divorced and then eats Truma.
Ah, excellent. So there are, if you look, there's a very important Tosos later on in Daf Ayin Ches. Daf Ayin Ches of an Aleph, if you turn, Tosos points out that Dibur Maschil Eino Get. Tosas says, the line of the Gemara there says, Eino get, as you can read the Dibur Maschil of Tosas, Achi Yomer Lo HaGitach. The Gemara there says that the man has to tell the woman, tell his wife that this is a get. Right? Eino get, Achi Yomer Lo HaGitach. So look at the Tosas. Ri Haya Matzrich Lenosin Gela Ishto Lomer HeGitach. When a man gives a get to his wife, Daf Ayin Ches, he has to tell his wife, this is your get. V'gam Harayat Mutaras Lechal Adam, and he also has to say, you're mutter to everyone. And the Tosas though asks, though, what about our Gemara? Argabar says he didn't say anything to his wife. Right? What did he say? This is your whatever, shtar chov. This is your obligation law, you know, shtar. So Tosfos says it must be that even in our case, afterwards, he said, you know what, by the way, I was joking, you know, the Edom said to her, even if he didn't say to her. But if she doesn't know at all that this is a get and that she's mutter, she's not married anymore, and she can't eat shroom anymore, so then it obviously doesn't work. Tosfos says you have to say that afterwards. Afterwards, he took care of it, or the Edom took care of it. So that's related to your point.
What if she's a lot of bardas?
She's a lot of bardas, and it doesn't make a difference beforehand or afterwards.
Uh-huh.
You know, other people are taking care of her anyway. So, wouldn't make a difference. Okay, back to the Gemara. Two dots, middle of Nunheim and Aleph. Yaktana Bas Yisrael. So, Ektana Bas Yisrael. So what did the Mishnah say? Second kind of the Mishnah was that if a woman is married, Midrabanan, right? Ektana Bas Yisrael, she's married by her mother and brothers, right? Midra writes that she can't get married, she's Yisoma. So she can also eat Truma. But, interesting, Rashi makes a Sa'ara, the Gemara is being Medaik, the first line of the Mishnah spoke about a Chareshas. The second line of the Mishnah switches to Ektana. So the second line of the Mishnah says, if you're only married Midrabanan, you can still eat Truma. Why didn't the Gemara just talk about Chareshas again? They're both a Durabana marriage. A deaf-mute woman married is a Durabana marriage, and a Ketana is a Durabana marriage. But the Mishnah specifically switched from talking about a Chareshas to a Ketana. So the Gemara is Medayik that what the Mishnah says about a Ketana would not apply to a Chareshas. V'ilu Chareshas lo achla. We would allow a Ketana who's married rabbinically, mid Rabbanan, to eat Truma, but a Chareshas, a deaf-mute, we would not allow her to eat Truma. My Taima, why not? Why would we make a difference? Because we would make a gzeira if we would allow a deaf, mute woman to eat truma. then maybe she's married to a gadol, who is a kohen, that's why she could eat truma, midrabanan. But if we allow that, then we might even allow a case where you have two deaf mutes married to each other, and there's no marriage there.
How is he allowed to be a kohen?
Sorry? Maybe he would not be allowed to do the avodah, but he could check the wood in the mizbeach if it's wormy. That's what the Baal Nimumin in the mizbeach used to do. So maybe he would serve certain functions. Avodah and truma don't always go together. So the Gemara says, if we would allow a chareshes and a gadol who's a bardas, we might allow a chareshes and a chareshes, and they might even come to eat truma daraisa, as the Gemara is going to explain soon. So because they have nobody watching them, a chareshes and a chareshes. So Gemara says, Valecha, what's so bad? So let him eat truma. Katan ochel nevelos hu. There's a sugya all the way at the end of the Maseches Yevamos, which talks about when katanim are doing averus, how much do we have to stop them? If my son is playing with an electrical toy on Shabbos, do I have to take it away from him, the 2-year-old kid, the 4-year-old child? Right, if he's playing with the light, on and off, on and off. Okay, so if we try to tell him on Shabbos, but do I have to take him away? That's a big sugya. There's major machlokas there, whether you have to stop him from doing it. Once he gets older, of course, you have to stop him. He's a gil chinuch. But that's called the sugya of katan och nevelos. A katan who's eating nevelo, who's eating treif, treif meat. So there is at least one opinion there that says you do not have to stop him. So here, a cheresh and a chereshes also are considered katanim in halacha. So what's the big deal? So they'll eat it. You make an exera because you don't want them to come eat shruma daraisa. So let him eat. What's the big deal? At least according to one opinion. Right? Katan och nevelos, you don't have to stop him. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. We're not worried about that case. You know what we're worried about? Gezira shemiyachel cheresh bepikachas. We're worried about a case of the following marriage. If we allow a deaf mute woman who's married to a man bardas, maybe we would allow the opposite. A deaf mute man who's married to a woman who's a bardas. And in that case, if she would eat truma daraisa, that's an avera. That's an avera. Meaning, if it's a cheresh and a cheresh, that's fine. That's a case where we might allow, because that's only a drabanan marriage, and they're only considered drabanan. But here you have a gadol involved. That's the case that we're bringing gozer mishum. We wouldn't allow a cheresh to get married because to eat truma only a ketana, because we're worried about this case of cheresh and a pikachas.
How do you accomplish kiddush and drabanan there?
How do you accomplish in which case a cheresh?
A cheresh and a gadol.
A chareshes.
No, I'm sorry. A chareish and a.
A chareish and a pikachas. A katan cannot get married. A chareish is somewhat different than a katan. So in this case, I guess we would allow the kedushin to rabbanan. Right? Katan is labar ishus, like where it says in kedushin. But a chareish, obviously, we would allow. Or at least we would allow it enough to eat truma, which would be the problem. And now we just have what I mentioned before. Lechol b'truma d'rabanan. What's the big problem in all these cases? Let him eat truma d'rabanan. And where says no? Gzeirish and me'asi lechol lechuli truma d'araisa. You know, he might come to eat real truma d'araisa, and that's why we don't allow the chareshes to do it.
If you mafresh truma and you give it to a cheresh, you're chayim mitzvah tzina too.
If you mafresh truma and you give it to a cheresh who is a kohen, the cheresh who is a kohen. So lechora, there's no mitzvah to give it to a specific. Is it lifnei iver if he's not going to treat it properly? He might be metameh it. So you have to give it to somebody who you know, just like you can't give perish shemitah, right, in Yonah Diyoma, to an Am Haaretz who you know is not going to treat the shemitah fruit properly, right? That could be an issue of lifnei iver, right? Or you go into a store, you know where the kedusha shviyah is, there's a big discussion whether to give him the money, because we know the kedusha transfers to the money. If you actually buy it, then you're not just swallowing up with other transactions, but that could be an issue with lifnei iver. Okay. Two dots. Here we go. Next takana. So what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said if a man steals a board, he builds it into his house. So we don't make him knock down his whole house because he's not going to do tshuva then. He's knocking down his whole house. So we say, you know what? Keep the house and just return the money. So the Gemara is going to tell us now that is really a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But la meir shakazal shabano, tana rabbanan, gozal meir shabano babira. If a man steals a board and builds it in his house, Beis Shammai omrim mekakeh kol abira kula. Got to knock down your whole house, says Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, no way. You got to knock down. We're not giving any kulas. You know, just like we know Beis Shammai had a certain. Shammai himself also, different personality than Beis Hillel in Darkei Halimud and how the taught. We know the story that in Shabbos Laman Aleph that the Ger goes to Beis Shammai and it goes to Shammai and says, teach you all of Torah on one foot. And he says, get out of here. I don't want to hear from you. Beis Hillel says, no, I'll take him. I'll have to see Beis Shammai says, I don't want to have any kulas here. Kakea call abir kula, knock down your house and return the board. Master Bayer Shabbailo. U Beis Hillel omrim, ein lo ela de me mirish bovad. No. just the money, that's fine. Mishum takanas hashavim. Takanas hashavim, and therefore, you only have to return the money. Interesting limitation. The Rama writes in Choshen Mishpat that, in Simin Shin Samach, all the way at the end of the of Choshen Mishpat, where are we here? Shin Samach Aleph. Says the Rama, Gozal Karka Ubana Aleha Binyanim Gedolim. Let's say you stole a piece of land, however that's possible. You knock somebody off the land, where it talks about how can you steal land. Let's say you steal land somehow, and then you build skyscrapers on that land. And then you want to do tshuva. Says the Rama, Sarech listor hakol. Gotta knock everything down. Ulahashiv karka labailam. Gotta return the land. Delo asu takanas hashavim bekarka. Because the takana of allowing you just to return the money is only by boards, by metaltzlin, by movable objects, not by land. Why? What's the difference with limitation? So the sma there says, the kivan duhu davar kavua va'omeid, since it's land, everybody knows about land, havi le lameda. You should have known. The shell, hanigzal huvalo, havi le leknoso. So when it comes to land, everybody knows about land. It's recorded in the National Registry. So it's a public thing. So we're not going to have any coolers to allow you to keep somebody else's land. But a board, okay, a board will allow. When it comes to lands, we don't have any such coolers. That's the Ramah's limitation on this halach. Period. Okay. Last case of the Mishnah. The stolen carbon. So the stolen carbon, the Mishnah said, the Chazal allowed what? Allowed it to be mechaper. How could Chazal, isn't kapara up to Hashem? You know, who decides you get kapara? It's up to Hashem. What do you mean? A carbon is going to give kapara? Chazal decided. What does that mean? That it's, so as we'll see, Chazal just said, basically, that the takana was that the person does not have to bring another karban. That was their takana. That even though it wasn't really his, the ganavs, when he brought it, he does not have to bring another karban. That was their takana. Which halakhic mechanism did they use? We'll have to see later on. Says the Gemara here. Here we go. So Amar Ula. What was the din d'araisa that Chazal came along and said, a carbon that was stolen that nobody knew about, it's mechaper. What was the d'araisa? And then they went to the d'rabbanan. We left out step one in the Mishnah. So that's a machlokas. Machlokin Ula and Rav Yehuda. Amar Ula says, d'var Torah bein noda bein lo noda ina mechaperis. Mida oraisa, any carbon that is stolen is not mechaper. But we'd have thought, the stolen carbon, I stole it, I'm a ganef, and I brought this carbon, it's not mine. How can I bring mechaper? My taima. Why isn't it mechaper? Yeyush kedi lo kani. Yeyush by itself is not kona. Yeyush is a huge sugya, which we're just going to touch on now. Yeyush means when the original owner has given up hope. Does that change anything in terms of the ownership of the item? I stole your pen. And then you don't know what happened to it, you gave up hope. That's yeyush. You miss yeyush on it. So do I now own it? So there's a major machlokas tanoim, machlokas amarai, machlokas rishonim. Yeah?
Rabba and Abaye.
Right. There's a discussion in Baba Kama. That's a huge sugya, right? It's Yeshalomidas, specifically is Abaye and Rabba. So it's machlokas. So Yesh Kedi Lokani. So by itself, Yesh is not Kone, says Ula. And therefore, we're talking about a case of Yesh here. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, this is even without Yesh. The Gemara relates it to Yesh, but Yesh doesn't make a difference. Mida araisa, it shouldn't be mechaper. Umatam amru lo noda mechaperis. Why did Chazal come along and say no? But if nobody knew about it, there is kapara. Why? Shelo yiu koanim atzevin. So the koanim aren't sad. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, because the koanim, what they're always going to have in the back of their minds when they're doing the avoda, maybe this is a stolen carbon. Maybe I'm bringing a wrong carbon on his back. Maybe I'm eating carbonus that aren't really carbonus. It's going to make them crazy. It's sad, but it really means that they're not going to be able to properly do the avoda. Right? Rashi says, right, 5 lines from the bottom. Shalom yukonim atzevim sha'achlu chumash nishkudu bazara. They ate chumash nishkudu bazara. How could that be? So they're going to be, so because of that's the takana, for the good of the kohanim. So they don't have to, you say, it's going to be mechaper anyway. It's going to be a good carbon anyway, even if it's stolen, you don't have to worry about it. Amri le'ula, Rabbana le'ula, 1 minute, that doesn't fit into the words of the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Why are we going to allow it to be a kapara? That's the language of the Mishnah. It's for the good of the Mizbeach. What do you mean the good of, that's not the good of the Kohanim? So Amr lehem, no, fit it in. Kivan, to Kohanim at Sevim, since the Kohanim are so sad and upset and they're going to be so worried, they're not going to do the Avodah properly. nimsa mizbeach batal. So the mizbeach is not going to have proper kabbanas brought on it, and therefore that's why the Mishnah calls it tikkun hamizbeach, even though it's really for the good of the kohanim.
Considered mitzvah ba'aveira, or not?
Is this called mitzvah ba'aveira? Well, Chazal made this into a mitzvah. You know, it's not labeled anymore as mitzvah ba'aveira. If I stole a piece of matzah and I ate the matzah, that's a mitzvah ba'aveira. Chazal didn't make any takana that the matzah is mine. Here, they made a takana that the carbon should belong to the kohen. I'll mention it now, even if it's going to come up later. It's using the principle of hefker, bezen, hefker, meaning Chazal, the Rabbanan, have the power to change monetary ownership from one person to another. You think you own this? No. The other person owns it. Chazal have that power based on two different makoros, actually, earlier in Gittin. Two different makoros, there's a pasuk in Ezra, or a pasuk elsewhere in Tanakh. Chazal have that power.
Then he doesn't have to pay it back.
So, in that case, he might have to pay money. He doesn't have to pay the animal back. But it's technically his, but Chazal didn't wipe out the Maisa Aveira. He didn't wipe out the act of stealing. He wiped out that this animal now belongs to you. But on record, it's still this crime. Just the object doesn't belong to you anymore. So that's Ula. Ula said, Midah Raisa, any stolen carbon is not Nikneh. But Midah Rabbanan, we say, it does work because the Kohanim are going to be upset. They're not going to be able to do the Avodah. Rav Yehuda, there's more to say here, but we have to move. Rav Yehuda Amar, Dvar Torah Bein Odeh, that's the godless and the problem of Daf Yomi. Dvar Torah Bein Odeh Bein Odeh, we try to push as much as we can in, but we have to limit it sometimes. Bein Odeh Bein Odeh Mechaperis. Midah Raisa says a view to the opposite. Midah Raisa, even if nobody knew about it, if it's stolen, the kapar should work. It should be mechaper even if it's stolen. Why? My time yesh kadi kani. Rabbi Yehuda holds opposite. Once the owner, original owner, was misyayish, then it belongs to the owner. That's enough. It's enough once the owner gives up hope. It's enough that the ganef now owns it. Umatam, turning over. Umatam amru no de ena mechaperas. Aye, so why do we say though midrabanan that if everybody knows about it, what did Mishnah say? If nobody knows about it, it's going to be mechaper. So says Rabbi Yehuda, no, that's midaraisa. Biblically, midaraisa is always going to work. So the Rabbanan Chilak was the other way. Why do we say that if somebody knew about it, that it's not machaper? If everybody knows that this is a stolen carbon, they know that the biggest bandit brought a carbon and it's going to be hooked up in the mizbeach, that's terrible. Such a disgrace. The mizbeach is bringing stolen carbonus. So that's why that there's a Rabbanan that it should not work. Mizbeach al chanavelos. So Gemara says, 1 minute. Bishlam ala Ula hanad tani chatas. I understand, according to Ula, the first opinion in the Gemara, according to Ula, I understand why the Mishnah specifically says chatas. Remember, there are many types of karbanas. The Mishnah specifically says chatas because Ula, stolen chatas. According to Ula, I understand why it says chatas. Why? Because a chatas has some in, what is a chatas? Some of its, the fats and the blood are put on the mizbeach, but the meat is brought, eaten by the Kohanim. According to Ula, has to do with the whole issue in the Mishnah, has to do with the Kohanim eating it and they're being worried. So that's why it says Chatas in the Mishnah. Elo Rabbi Yehuda, my ayah Chatas, afilo olunami. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what's it about? It's about stolen Kabbanas being brought on the Mizbeach. So why say Chatas? Even Ola, which is totally brought on the Mizbeach. Why daft the Chatas? So my answer is, lo mi boy kamer. No, the Chatas is telling you an even bigger chiddush. Lo mi boy Ola de kalilhi. Not only an Ola, which is totally burned on the Mizbeach. There for sure, you don't want people saying, look, it's a disgrace. The Mizbeach is getting a stolen carbon. Right? It's totally always the most kadosh carbon. It's kula kalil. So there for sure we're going to be worried that people are going to say that it's a disgrace. El afilu chatos nami. Even chatos. The chil of adamu, the salak lagami Mizbeach. Chatos, you might have said, it's not so bad. What's the Mizbeach getting? Just the blood, just the fats. But the kohanim are eating most of it. So there you might have said that it's not such a disgrace for the mizbeach to have it, even though everybody knows about it. And yet still, there's a gzera that we will say that the mizbeach will be eating even gzelus. So even there, there's a halacha that it shouldn't be done. There's no kapar if everybody knows about it. Interesting, the Rashba says, what's the havamina? Since the mizbeach is only getting a little bit, it might not be so bad. What's the difference if it's a little gzela or a lot of gzela? Right, the Rashba says, "Klasha maishno gezel meruba maishno gezel muat." What's the havamina? We might have said that if the mizbeach is only getting a little bit of it, it's not so bad. It's not such a disgrace. What's the difference? So the Rashba says, "No, you might have said if it's just the blood and it's just the fat, that's not really considered anything on the mizbeach. If the mizbeach is not getting any meat, there's nothing so gishmak." So it's getting a little blood sprinkled on it, it's getting a little fat spurned. But if it's not getting meat, it might be that it's not called guzzle at all. That's the chiddush. It's not just a little, it's not quantity, it's quality. That's the Rashba's chiddush. Okay. Tanan. Continues the Gemara. about the eighth line or so. Alachadas akzula shlono de l'rabim, shlono de l'rabim, shimechaperes, maybe taken on mizbeach. What did the Mishnah say? That a stolen chatas that nobody knew about, it's mechaper. So again, what do we have? We have the machlokas ula and Rav Yehuda we're talking about. What was the step one? That the Mishnah said step two. So says the Gemara, bishlam alu ula nicha. According to ula, I understand. Ula said that according to the Torah, everything, nothing works. Nothing is mechaper. So what did the Mishnah tell me? The Mishnah tells me that if a chatas that nobody knew about it works. So you understand, that's step two. Midaraisa, nothing works, and the Mishnah tells me what works. Elo Rav Yehuda, ifchemi boyle, but according to the Mishnah, according to Rav Yehuda, the language of the Mishnah doesn't make sense, because why? What is the Mishnah telling me? The first thing, according to the Torah, everything works. What does the Mishnah say? If you don't know about it, it works. What do you mean? That's not the takana, that's the ikra din. So Gemara says, hakanami kamar. You're right, the Mishnah is basically missing words. Sometimes the Gemara calls this chisuri mechsura. Missing words. Lo no de mechaperes. You gotta add this into the Mishnah. If nobody knew about the karban, it is mechaper. That, just like the din daraisa, going to Rabbi Yehuda, no de ina mechaperes, but no de, if they knew about it, it's not gonna be mechaper because of tikkun hamizbeach, because of the, we don't want people to say that the mizbeach is getting stolen objects. Okay. Period. Masav Revel, let's finish up this section. Gona vehektish v'achar kach tavach umachar. Now we're just gonna relate to the general principle of whether yeish works or not. I stole something from you, you give up hope, does it belong to me now or not? So I'm going to relate to that for a minute. Let's say I stole something, and then I gave it to the Beis HaMikdash. All of a sudden I became a tzaddik. I stole your animal, I gave it to the Beis HaMikdash. But then, right when I stole it, I'm chayav kefal, I'm chayav double. Then I gave it to the Beis HaMikdash. After I gave it to the Beis HaMikdash, v'achar kach tavachu machar. And then I became a rasha again, I went and shechted it. Achar tavachu machar. We know tavach u'machar, shechita, if I shechted, if I stole it, apachayev da'al v'hei. Says Rava, mishalan tashlumi keifel ve'enu mishalan tashlumi da'al v'hei. You only pay keifel in that case. You only pay double for the maisa geneva. You don't pay for the tvichu mechira. Why? Because it's not yours anymore. You only chayev for tvichu mechira if you stole an animal and shechted it. If in between you gave it to the Beis HaMikdash, right, you're not going to be chayev da'al v'hei.
Aren't you also chayev for me'ila though?
What? Are you chayev for me'ila? Me'ila is using something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, if are you shchayev for me'ila for shechting something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah.
So the Gemara Baba Kama talks about that, or why aren't you chayev for just giving it to the Beis HaMikdash? Isn't that a sale? Right. So that's it's a machlokas to four blot separate from each other in Perek Merubin, and Baba Kama talks about that. But excellent. But what they talks about, what about is it a me'ila by shechting a carbon that belongs to the mizbech? So says Rava. So let's get back to this though. Yechayev kevel not lavehei. But Tani Allah, but the Brisa related to Rava's statement says b'chutz ki agavna anish karech. Let's say this ganav shechted this animal outside the Beis HaMikdash. Right? He's chayv karis. That's considered shchute chutz. If you shecht a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, it's called, it's chayv karis for that. If you shecht an animal outside the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, v'yamr yesh kedi lo kani, karis maya vidite. If the animal doesn't really belong to the ganav, so why are you chayv karis? Why is that called shchute chutz? You get chayv karis for this? It wasn't really his, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Ula, who said yesh is not really kona. So Amar Rav Shizvi Karis Midavrayam. Karis Midarabanan. If you look at the Ramban at the end of Maseches Achrimos, he talks about three types of Karis. None of them are Karis, Rabbinic Karis. What's Rabbinic Karis? Karis, you get cut off by Hashem, different types of Karis. Karis Midavrayam. So Achicho Ale, Karis Midavrayam Iikos. They laughed at him. What kind of Karis Midarabanan is there? So Amar Luhu Rava. Rava says, 1 minute. Rava says, don't laugh. If a Rav Shizvi says something, don't laugh at him. You obviously are missing the point, not Rav Shizvi. What he meant was, karis sha'al yidei devrei ambasalo. It means karis which was created through the Rabbanan. What does that mean? Ukma Rabbanan bershusei ki hecha delachayev aleh. As we said before, the Rabbanan, using their power in the world of dini mamonis, monetary power, said it belongs to the ganav, in order to make it a real carbon. So that anybody afterwards would be chayav for shchutei chutz after that. So that's what it means. It doesn't mean kares the Rabbanan. It means a kares, the araisa, which came from something the Rabbanan did. And that's why, even though you say yesh kadi is lo kani, it's still going to work. Right? Hefker bezen hefker. Hefker bezen hefker, as Rashi here says. Actually, the Maritz Chayas here, in the back, says, maybe you see from here that the Rabbanan, I mean, as he said, it's an obvious point, the Rabbanan have the authority to change statuses d'oraisa. Kinyanim. Let's say you have something, a kinyan d'Rabbanan. If something is in my Dalet Amos, I'm kone it. That's a kinyan d'Rabbanan. Can I marry a woman with that? Let's say this cup. This cup is down in my Dalet Amos, it's mine. Could I go and now marry a woman with that? That would mean it's mine daraisa. If I married daraisa. Maris Chaya says, you see from this Gemara, once the Rabbanan tell you something is yours, it's yours even on the daraisa level. That's what you see from this Gemara. Period. Okay. Amar Rava. Okay, we got a few minutes. Amar Rava. Havada kami ba'ili. I've always had this problem. Rava says, I've always had this problem. There should always be problems that we've always had. Always be problems we've always had. Things that have always bothered us in Torah. There should always be things like that. So Rava says, this has always bothered me. Kiyakma Rabbanan Birshu say, when the Rabbanan did this, they said, this Ganav now owns it. And once they said that, when he was Makdashit, from what time, retroactively, Lamafreya, did it become his? Mishas Geneva or Mishas Ekdesha? From the time that he stole it, or from the time that he was Makdashit to the Beis HaMikdash? Well, my Nafgamina, what's the difference? Let's say he did some shearings off the animal in the interim, or the animal had a baby in the interim. So does it belong to the Ganav? Does it belong to the original owner? So Hada Amar Rava. Rava then said, I've always had that question. You know what? I finally figured it out. Mistavra Mishasek Desha. Shalo Yeheko Dinisgar. You have to say from the later time. You say it from the earlier time. So he wins. The Ganav wins. He gets something out of it. So you have to say it's from the later, you have to say it's from the later time. Period. Okay. Masisa Mishnah. Lohaya Sikrikon Yehuda Baruge Milchama. Sikrikon means a set of halachos that apply when there are bandits and robbers running around the world and taking people's lands. So that set of halachos did not apply in Yehuda during the time that Jews were getting killed. Why dafka Yehuda? Tosfos here and Davi Rasmel Yehuda quotes a Yerushalmi that the Romans during the second Beis HaMikdash, the Romans specifically targeted the area of Yehuda, which is the middle part of Eretz Yisrael, because they had a Mesorah that Yehuda killed Esav. Esav was their forefather, the Roman forefather, and they had a Mesorah that Yehuda killed Esav. So that's why the Dafka targeted the middle section of Yehuda. Even though we have the Gemara in Sota that says Hushim, the son of Don, chopped off Esav's head and it rolled into the Maris and Machpelah. But maybe Tosa says maybe he didn't die from that Makkah. I don't understand. He chopped off his head. I don't know what exactly. But Tosa says they had a Mesorah. It's interesting, fascinating that there's another Yerushalmi that says, some of you might have learned the beginning of Ksubis. The beginning of Ksubis talks about that in Yehuda, after Erisin, which was the first stage of marriage, there was a minhag to have yichud. And the man, husband and wife might have had bia during that time. Kind of Erisin, what, during Erisin, they're not married, that's the first stage of marriage. Nisuin is marriage. But during Erisin, they used to have, everyone understood, why did they have to have yichud? The Yushalmi says, because it was Yehuda. And the hegemon, who was their Roman governor, who wanted to live with every woman before she got married, you know, he would dafka target women from Yehuda because of this Mesorah as well. And that's why they dafka had bia beforehand in Yehuda, the husband and the wife, so that the hegemon wouldn't want to be with them. Okay, so anyway, so there were no laws of Sikrikon in Yehuda during the times of war. Afterwards there would be. Well, let's just finish the Mishnah for today. Ketzad, what does that mean? What does that mean that there was, what are the laws of Sikrikon? Lakach mi Sikrikon, v'chazav lakach mi balabayis. Let's say a Sikrikon, one of these bandits, went over to you and said, give me your land or I'm going to kill you. So you give him your land. And then this guy goes and sells it to a fellow Jew. So is that transaction valid? So if the bandit sold it to a fellow Jew, and then the fellow Jew went and bought it back from the original owner, so mechel batel, even though he went to buy from the original owner afterwards, it still doesn't work. Why? Rashi quotes two deis. Either because maybe the original owner is scared of the Sikrikon. If I don't sell it to him willingly, he's going to kill me. So you're right, he sold it to you. I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to sell it to you anyway, even though I don't mean it. So the transaction does not stand. Number one. Or the second possibility Rashi says is maybe the guy's thinking to himself, I can't get it back from the Sikrikon, I can get it back from you. So I'll sell it to you, but I'll get it back from you. I just want to get it out of his hands. So either way, if he buys it, if the Jew number two, if the guy said to Reuven, I'm going to kill you, or else give me your land, and then Shimon bought it, and then Reuven acquiesces after Shimon bought it, that's not a sale. But the opposite, but if he first buys it from the original owner and then buys it from the Sikrikon, then it's a good transaction. Because what happened first here? He bought it from the original owner. What's the original owner selling it for? If the original owner acquiesced and agreed first, then the Mekach is Chayim. Similar cases. Let's say you go over to a man and you buy a piece of land from a man, but the land was designated for his wife's ksuba. So he doesn't really have rights to sell that. But you bought it from him, and then you went to his wife and bought it from the woman, mechel batel. Again, it doesn't work. Why? We assume the woman wasn't really wholehearted. I want to make my husband happy. I don't want to cause strife now. But she didn't really mean it. But the opposite, min ha'isha v'chazav lachem min ha'ish mechol kayim. But if you write it from the woman first, it is valid, because she shouldn't have sold it first. Zu mishnah bishon, this is what we originally held. Bezdin shalachareya mamru, but the later Bezdin said, how all these, the whole halacha laws of sikrikon change. We're going to talk more about this in a few blots. Halagek mi sikrikon, nosan labailam revia. If anybody buys from the sikrikon, from these bandits, they get to keep it, and they just have to pay a quarter of the price to the original owner. But as we see, the Gemara is going to say they used to sell it for only 3/4 of the price. Discount. Amasai, and all these halachas apply, bisman she'im biyadon likach, only when the original owner does not have enough money to buy back himself. Aval yesh biyadon likach, hekadim l'choladam. But if they have enough money to buy back themselves, they go first. Rebbe Hoshiv Bezdin v'nimnu, and Rebbe then decided, last line, shim shasa b'fnei sikrikon, shnei masar chodesh, if the sikrikon had it for a year, kalakodim likach zacha. Then anybody who wants it could buy it. You don't have to wait for the original owner, even if he had money. You just have to give back the original owner a quarter of the price. We'll see why. What's this quarter? We'll see after the whole Agadah to Gemara is coming up. We'll see what the reason is. Okay, it's coming up tomorrow is Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, and the major Gittin Sugis that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. It comes up in the next lot, but we'll stop here. And if this is uploaded, it's great to have everybody back, and we hope to continue tomorrow.